With what he has been viewing, we welcome James Crutes. Morena.
Good morning, Catherine. How are you?
Good, thank you. Wicked Little Letters is in cinemas now, I think.
Yes, it is indeed. It arrived in cinemas today. They have been doing a few previews, though, and rightly so, because this is very much a movie that's driven by word of mouth, and anyone I've talked to has seen it so far. It's absolutely loved it. That includes me. It stars Jesse Buckley and Olivia Colman. It's based on a real-life incident in 1920s Littlehampton, a little village, I think, in Sussex. I'm trying to remember exactly which part of the UK it was in. But it was all about a mysterious letter writer who was sending abusive notes to, in particular, one woman, but also a number of other people around the town. And it sort of caused consternation, initially just within the village itself. Then the police became involved. Then the trial, once somebody was charged with the offences, ended up attracting journalists from France, private eyes from Sweden, and a psychic from somewhere else as well. It's quite remarkable what a big story it came. I guess it was kind of the Agatha Christie of the 1920s. Just a fascinating kind of thing. So we have Olivia Colman's Edith Swan as the person receiving these letters. She is a pious woman. She, you know, turns the other cheek. But her father, played brilliantly by Timothy Spall, is getting increasingly outraged. And they're both convinced that it's actually the Irish woman who's moved in next door in the last couple of years, that Edith initially tried to help with bringing up her young child solo, but was eventually rebuffed. And they're not keen on her sort of carousing ways and general free-spiritedness. And so, you know, they're absolutely sure that she's done it, despite the handwriting not really sort of matching up with anything that anyone else has seen. And also the fact that she's quite freely telling everyone that she doesn't like the Swans. So why would she send anonymous letters? It feels like an Ealing comedy with an edge, really. It's great humour. You do need to be warned, there's lots of swearing in it. That's just the nature of these letters. But I thoroughly enjoyed it, and I think it's a great story for almost all ages, if you like.
Olivia Colman, whenever I hear she's in anything, it makes me want to watch it. And she's our protagonist, is she?
Yes. Look, she is fantastic, and her ability to play the kind of almost sort of deadpan roles as well. Sort of, she's such a smiley person and such a gregarious person in person that when she plays these sort of more buttoned down characters, it kind of works really well. And Jesse Buckley, I'm a huge fan of. She's just done some amazing work in things like Women Talking. Of course, there was Wild Rose a few years ago. She's come out of musical theatre, but she again just has this vivaciousness, particularly on screen, and her ability to play all these different types of characters. I mean, she's been in a series of Fargo in America. She's done a number of US films as well. Yeah, she's just incredible. And the two of them together are just a hoot. But, right. You know, I thoroughly recommend you get out to a cinema and check this out.
Wicked Little Letters. Now, The Girls on the Bus is on Neon.
Yeah, this is an interesting kind of an idea. So it started out of a chapter out of a book called Chasing Hillary, which was all about, I think, a Washington Post, and I think she worked for the New York Times as well, journalists' experiences of the 2016 election and following Hillary, and also following Hillary Clinton prior to that. There was one chapter about the other female journalists that she encountered as part of this process. And so HBO, and I think it might have started at Netflix originally, have spun out this idea of these four disparate women. One works for a sort of legacy media, one works for a right-wing sort of Fox-style network, one works for a is a groundbreaking veteran, if you like, and the other one is sort of a TikTok journalist, essentially. And so they all have sort of different views and different ways of doing things, and it's kind of that clash between them, but also the friendship and the bond that they develop that kind of works. It's also, as the title suggests, a nod to The Boys on the Bus, which of course was that sort of Hunter S. Thompson idea in the 70s of just the sort of wild and crazy things that the political reporters got up to, and, you know, what goes on tour stays on tour kind of thing, but this lifted the lid. So it has that kind of element to it as well. A fictional version of Hunter S. Thompson turns up as a sort of spiritual guide to one of the characters here. But I think the thing that struck me about this is kind of a hopeful fantasy of what American politics should be like. So this follows a Democratic nomination period. It suggests it's 2023 or 24, but it's not really, because there are women involved in the process. There are people of various ethnicities. There are people under the age of 70 running for a candidacy here. So it's very much a fantasy. They have a small town mayor. There's an ex-superhero. There's a very much an environmental green candidate. I mean, you couldn't do it in a presidential race because, as we know how American politics works, it's basically two people. And now they don't even bother to try and differentiate between the two, except for whether they wear blue or whether they wear red. You know, I enjoyed it as the fantasy that it was, and maybe it'll inspire somewhere America or some younger American to sort of put their hand up for politics and try and break the current system. I don't know. I think that's the idea behind it. You know, it's a nice piece of fantasy. It's probably a bigger fantasy than a lot of the fantasies that are on television.
Who knows which is which these days? The Girls on the Bus is on Neon. Three Body Problem is on Netflix.
Yes, now this is a real fantasy in the traditional sense. It has it's an adaptation of a very popular novel series, a trilogy from about a decade ago. Well, that's when they were translated into English by a Chinese author, if you'll forgive my pronunciation, Li Cixan, who created this very scientific, heavy novel, which involves the Chinese Revolution in the 1960s, and a young woman there who came up with this idea that would amplify interstellar communication. She reaches out into space and she hears back. And then we sort of fast forward and switch between then and now as a whole lot of scientists start disappearing. They either drop what they're doing or they die. And the Large Hadron Colliders and other particle accelerators like that around the world are suddenly giving results that disprove the physics of the last 60 years. So science is in this massive conundrum. The sky suddenly starts producing Morse code, and this whole weird thing is going on. And so Benedict Wong, who was in the Doctor Strange series of movies, he plays a sort of investigator who's trying to work out why all these scientists are disappearing. There are a number of different young scientists who are trying to work out what's going on and why. It's very much a tangled mystery. It's a heck of a lot of world building. It will take you a while to get your head around it. It's no surprise that it's perhaps been adapted by two of the writers of the Game of Thrones TV series, plus one from True Blood. But if you persevere with it, I'm kind of hooked on the whole thing, really. It feels a little bit like Lost in terms of the whole, you know, jumping from back to front and back again. But it also has a kind of, not wanting to give too much away, there's also a bit of interstellar involvement, which might, and allegories that might remind one of a certain series from the 1980s involving lizard people.
Okay, so it's not like a science-based thing that says the Large Hadron Collider has sent us off into the void, or the parallel universes actually do exist, or it's not science-based, it's genuine fantasy?
Yeah, well, no, there are a lot of warnings about, you know, humanity's effect on the planet. One of the characters back in the 60s in China is given a copy of Silent Spring, for example. And there are also, I guess, a warning about scientific meddling, you know, and taking humanity too far. And this is a warning, perhaps, from others that we shouldn't be doing it.
Right.
But what their motives are is another thing. So, you know, there's a lot of ways that you could look at it. Definitely.
Okay. A couple of minutes left for Blue Jean, please, which is on Neon and other online rentals.
Yeah, this was one of my favourite films of the film festival last year. It's from the in 1988, during the Maggie Thatcher era, you know, a particularly fertile period for UK drama, if you like. It's about a young school teacher, PE teacher, who's closeted at work, but very open as a lesbian when she's at the pub. Her worlds collide when a new young student turns up at her pub and, you know, sees what she gets up to out of the classroom. And this is at a time where the Thatcher government were looking at introducing legislation which basically said that you couldn't promote homosexuality in schools, which sounds awfully familiar to some countries at the moment. Look, it's an evocative, provocative tale, brilliant, you know, mood setting. It does have New Order's Blue Monday, which does seem to be a staple of these kind of films. But it kind of reminded me of those sort of kitchen sink dramas of the Mike Lees, but also the Andrea Arnolds and the Cleo Barnards. Fantastic central performance from, I think, Rose McEwen is her name. Look, you know, if you're into a gritty kind of drama, but particularly one that's set in that very particular time in the UK, then you should definitely check out Blue Jean, which is on a number of rental services at the moment, like iTunes and YouTube.
Thanks very much for that, James. James Kroot with what he has been viewing. Blue Jean is on Neon and other online rentals. Three Body Problem is on Netflix. The Girls on the Bus on Neon. And Wicked Little Letters, well, get yourself off to your local theatre. Cinema, that is.